say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't always cover alien races. When we do, they love to gamble in Vegas. This is Hysteria 51.
Put a dollar in, I got a car. Put a dollar in, I got a car. Put a dollar in, I got a car. Put a dollar in, I got a car.
Okay, I think I get it.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, I'm your host, Brent Hand, and we are sans go forth this week.
Hopefully it is his monthly bath.
Not quite. He's actually in Nashville repping forth in our company at Podcast Movement, and I'm stuck here on babysitter duty for the two fucking ass clown
Speaking
robots.
Speaking of stuck. How does a duck get a loaf of bread out of his ass without tipping off his rabbi?
Stop. No fucking jokes this week, or hopefully ever from you. They just suck.
For once we are in agreement, and now I feel dirty from saying that, and I'm the one who needs a bath.
Well, hopefully you should go play in water, and while you'll do that, I will do the show. But not by myself. Tonight, I am welcoming back Andy and Art from Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast and Lala Hour. It gets longer every time I have you guys on here. they're taking over for the missing Goforth again. This is becoming kind of a habit.
Maybe a little bit. I mean, you just seem to like babysitting clowns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love you guys so much.
You just can't quit us, Brent.
We did bring some gifts.
Hand me your belt, if you will, please. Oh, man. Yeah, so I was excited because I was like, you guys got a topic. You're like, tall aliens. Just, you know, here you go. This is what I want to talk about.
You ask us for anything, we're immediately saying tall aliens.
Knock and the door shall be open. The very tall alien door.
Actually, in your writer that you guys sent me for whatever reason, it said whatever we talk about, it has to be white. And I was like, okay, well, I swear.
Well, you know.
Nothing really takes a podcast off like a race joke right off the bat.
We meant more of like the different sauces and things that we include in our rider, which is like, we'll only eat ranch, Alabama, you know, white barbecue sauce,
Alfredo
sauce.
I need a bathtub full of bechamel.
I'm so happy there's no semen jokes in there. And then I just ruined it. Alien
species. Oh yeah,
cum.
We want a lot of cum too.
Thanks, Fear Factor with Joe Rogan. It is alien species this week, and we haven't done one in a while, so I'm actually excited to be talking aliens again.
Tall white sounds like a double A ball team from Poughkeepsie.
It really does. Like, it does kind of come off as
it a little bit. Yeah, I mean, C-Bot is not wrong. C-Bot, you know, Brent, you know this. We've been good friends with C-Bot for a long, long time.
Well, I heard you guys are such good friends. Speaking of ball, you guys got season tickets to the Cleveland Guardians now.
That's right.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We're big Guardians fans.
Huge Guardian heads. Oh, boy.
Big Guardian heads. We love the team. We love the big statue thing that it is named after.
I bleed Guardian.
Which also is a white sauce. I
don't know. Yeah,
it's very much so.
So, getting into it, there's been a lot of reported alien races out there. And I asked for the topic, and boom, you guys came up with the whites. Interestingly enough, though, you guys just released your episode on the Greys this last week.
That's true.
Right. That was,
we did. Yeah. We talked about the Greys.
You're just like, we need to talk more and more alien races. So
we're trying to go through it like spectrally by the color gradient. So
that's right.
We're working our way. You know, then we're going to get to the reds and then the oranges and then the yellows and then the greens.
Right.
The mauves.
Right.
The short mauves.
The short mauves.
Everyone hates those. They're friends of the avians. It is an interesting. We've talked a lot of races here. That we did the grays. We did a few of them. Then we did kind of like an all-inclusive, all-in-one episode where we talked about like, here's a blurb on 30 of them, you know, and it always blows my mind how much info people have on their heights, their bowel movements, their all this stuff. And it's just like, man, let's say that it's suspension of belief here. We're going to say it's all fake. Who's just at home again, like, oh man, and then I know, like, what's a normal amount to fucking, you know, to this and that, and how much vitamin A do they need in their diet? And shit, like,
well,
actually gray aliens prefer Cool Ranch Doritos to nacho cheese?
You would know that if you weren't such a tool.
I like, too, that it's not every fact about extraterrestrials is even interesting.
No,
it's not. No. There's not even a lot of stuff that's out there. You could say anything, and
you have four fingers.
Well, they're about the same height as a human. It's like, well, that's boring. Why shouldn't they be 40 feet tall?
They're a lot like humans.
And they come buildings.
They're a lot like humans, but very attractive. And we're going to get into this one, too. And I thought it was funny. Like, they can pass as humans. Yeah. And they do. And then it gets into them. Their eyes are on the sides of their head, and they're mostly blue with white pupils. And then they have white, blah, blah. And we'll get into it. And I'm like, who the hell... It does that. And then I thought of all the times I've been to Walmart. And I go, no, yeah, that makes sense. We're now talking about whites, you know, the tall whites here, but we can't talk about them without getting into the man of the hour here. The guy is the main point of the information on them. Like, he's the guy who, like, if you need to know about the whites, you talk to him, because he says he worked with them, via the U.S. military, one Mr. Charles James Hall. And like we were just saying, info aplenty. And he's detailed, his purported experiences with them into six whole fucking books.
Thick books.
Not just them, but six. It's six volumes of the Millennial Hospitality series, which that name in and of itself just breathes so many jokes in my head. It
definitely does.
Not to be, a one medium pony, though. Chuck also has a documentary, Walking with the Tall Whites, it came out in 2020, and you can catch it on Amazon Prime still.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$2.99.
$2. Best $3 you'll spend in your life, Hysteria Nation.
And everything is said straight-faced matter-of-factually.
Better than melatonin. It'll put you to sleep. Best $3 you ever spent.
Hey, Brent, we have a surprise for you, actually.
Uh-oh.
Charles Hall, we brought him today with us. Come in, Charles.
Did he bring any aliens with him?
I'm sorry, but I was with the aliens before, but then they fell asleep in the car, and I didn't want to wake them up because they need their rest. It was a long trip here.
Do you guys watch Rick and Morty at all?
Yeah.
Did you see the one a couple weeks ago where Jerry is with like the Cenobites from Hellraiser? So in Hellraiser, they want like the pain as pleasure to them.
Right.
So they're hanging out with Jerry because he's the lamest douchebag on earth.
And it's so painful.
Yeah, it's so painful. Yeah. So they're like, he's like, let's do something I like to call Jerry-okey, and they're like, oh! They're outside talking to Rick, and he comes back, and he's like, good news, everyone. They have the entire Smash Mouth catalog. And he's like, oh! And like, I just think after listening to Charles talk, he's on their list of guys to hang out with.
Oh, definitely.
For sure.
Oh, definitely.
So a little quick and dirty on Charles Hall. He's a nuclear physicist, ex-military American weather specialist, and author. That is a
pile of resume.
Yeah.
Ex-military, like so many whistleblowers. He was actually in the Air Force. So many former military are the ones that come forward. And I think that makes sense if it was to be true. They would probably be privy to these kind of things. So I guess that part would stand to reason. Does that hold more weight for you guys when someone says, well, I used to piddle fart around with aliens and I was in the military?
Maybe a little.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll say why. I'm a little bit skeptical because some people who have claimed to be ex-military, you know, and they say, oh, I was in this branch of the service.
Stolen valor.
Turns out that they weren't actually in the military.
Right.
Or there's no verifiable evidence to say that this is true.
Of course you can't find it. I told you all the top secret shit I did.
Yeah.
They're erasing my identity. It was expunged. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I just want one day to find out that everything I was so skeptical about was true. I'm the asshole.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's all true. Most of it is all true. Like, most of the shit that is not true was the shit you thought was true.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd love to eat crow. Somebody be like, everything you said about everything was wrong. I'd be like, well,
Damn.
That euphemism actually comes from the avian people who are at war with the crow people.
That's right? True.
So that came to Earth because of them. So.
It was more about, you know, intergalactic cannibalistic genocide. But, and on Earth, it translates to, you know, be made humble.
Yeah. ICG if you're in the know. All right. So now to the good stuff. Well, the stuff, I'll say. Charles claims that the U.S. military, they've had contact with and worked alongside the Toll Whites since the 50s. Now, the 50s are a time when, like, I don't know if that's because right after Roswell or what, but that seems to be the jumping off point that most people come into these stories.
Chef's kiss. You got Project Blue Book. You got the Roswells. You got the other one that was in Texas that I can't remember.
That rancher.
Yeah.
The ranch crash.
You know, you've got... Right, Pat. Oh,
mm-hmm. Everything really picks up speed after 1949. So
they're bringing all this stuff. Maybe that was like the signal to the cosmos or whatever, right, that we're ready to understand. And now he says the Tall Whites enjoyed their time here on planet Earth, literally so much that he says the 60s. These beings like to unwind by donning disguises, including sunglasses. Think like men in black suits. I don't know if you guys, they'd say they'd put like lipstick on and paint their faces. And
they were looking good.
And wait for it. surrounded by CIA handlers. They went to fucking Las Vegas and gambled. That's where they went. And no one was the wiser because it was the 60s in Vegas. That's the way it went.
Hey, the mob was in charge back then. This is the golden age of Vegas.
You know that fucking Sinatra was there with them.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Hey, Gleek Blorb, let's fucking go get some broads, you know?
We'll do it my way.
Yeah.
And then Gleek Blorb is like, we'll do it my way.
And Charles Hall was like, I enjoy your singing voice, Mr. Sinatra.
I'd like to talk to you about some of my observations at your show. Why are you asleep? Yeah, we got that going for us. He went on to say their crafts are capable of traveling faster than the speed of light because Einstein was actually wrong about relativity.
I led him astray as a joke and he just kept running with it.
C-Bot, you came up with E equals MC squared?
No, I got him into strippers and blow.
Oh, that checks out. That's C-Bot, baby.
Jesus. Anyway, Hall said no cameras were allowed at the site because, you know, who needs fucking proof? And where these beings were held has since been wiped off the map, destroyed. Like, it's no longer there because, you know, reasons for that as well. But when you encounter the Tall Whites, it's such a shock that you're not sure, he said, if you're looking at a ghost or an angel, if you're dreaming. Because when we say whites, it makes you think of skin tone or color, but they're actually like paper white.
Right.
Like white is like translucent.
Yes. Right.
You know, well, the paper, that's what they said. And paper's kind of an interesting way to say it too, because they were very, and we'll get into this, but easily damaged.
Right.
Yes.
They're like origami.
Yeah.
Good point, Andy.
So
thanks.
What shenanigans are these peeps up to? And more stories from Charles Hall. That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Time we're learning. Yeah,
let's learn Hysteria Nation. Time for education.
Now I want you guys to remember this is science. So you can quote this, and if your teachers say anything, just write us letters.
Kids listening, I hope a lot of children are listening.
warhistory.com is a site, and they quoted us in an article one time, and they said the historians Brent Hand and John Goldforth.
Wow.
And I'm like, I will never tell anyone to go to this website.
They should have referred to you as the Hysterians. Thank you.
Ooh,
we were talking about the Nazi bell, and they needed to, you know, it just so happened that they were looking online, and we had released an episode, and they're like, these guys are talking about the...
These historians?
Yeah.
That's how you should introduce yourself from now on, Brent.
Hi, I'm a historian. And overweight. So, like we said, luckily for us, the Tall Whites, as this alien race, were broken down in multiple volumes by Chucky. Art, give us some of the highlights.
You are going to learn more about this race of alien beings than you ever wanted to. Let's start right off the bat. What do you think of when you think of aliens? You think of alien abduction.
Yep,
right?
Robin.
Like if you were going to do a Family Feud style thing, it would be alien abduction. Let's get this out of the way. They're not interested.
Good answer.
Yeah. Let's see it on the board. How many people think of abduction?
Ding. That's the number one answer.
They're uninterested in it. They don't care. They're not here to abduct us. They're not here to take us. One of the things I like about the Tall Whites is they get it. they use our planet as what it is, a rest stop. A giant galactic rest stop.
Yeah, we're the Road Ranger in the cosmos.
That's true.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. They, on their massive galactic travels, they stop here to refuel and party.
Vegas, baby.
We already kind of touched about this. You know, they are legitimately like snow, like paper, white, a very, very, very thin. And they use, you know, kind of many genetic manipulations to kind of arrive at their current appearance, you know, and we could probably talk a little bit more about their appearance later, but you know, they're very, they're tall,
yeah,
white, and they have long hair.
Now, I do want to say that I went to the sheets, the records, the truth on the internet,
yeah, right?
Cryptid Wiki,
yes, right?
And it tells us to remember that all white aliens, because it's not just the tall whites, all white aliens are subspecies of what you just covered, the gray aliens. Wow. And that is what that genetic manipulation they dabbled with.
So they're Apexians.
They're a lineage.
A lineage of Apexians.
You know, wow. It's at some point in time, they diverged from.
That's right.
So, yeah. So, yeah.
These Apexians did so much banging across the galaxy.
They just, man.
Fucking across the cosmos.
Man, just that's how we got here. I know. Yeah. I can feel it in my bones.
You know, they say we're made of stars, but we're made of people who fucked it around different stars.
That's right. And you want to tell us about their home. Tell us about where they come from.
God, yeah. They have a beautiful home world wherever it is. It's much warmer than our Earth.
Like the Predators.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a Yetja. Thank you very much. That comes from Cryptid Wiki 2. Thanks.
Thank you, historian hand. Handstorian. So they like the desert here on Earth because it reminds them of home. You know, tall whites have entered into arrangements with the U.S. government so that they could have parts of the Mojave Desert all to themselves.
I tried to enter an arrangement with my wife a couple times, but she just keeps telling me no, but I think that's a different kind of arrangement.
Brent didn't get the Hall Pass. The Charles Hall Pass. He wanted to fuck Charles Hall. Hysteria Nation, Brent wanted to fuck Charles Hall.
Am I this transparent?
You're a tall white. You're that level of transparent. You want to fuck Charles Hall.
Really? That is the only reason.
We got the scoop.
The only reason I did this episode is that it so it wouldn't make my internet search history so weird. It's like, why is he constantly? Oh, he was researching for an episode for the last.
Oh, thank God, it was just for aliens.
16 years. I always put nude after whatever I'm searching for, just in case.
Well, how many times can one IP address search Charles Hall nude, Charles Hall shirtless, Charles Hall wet?
They're not into abductions. Why does he keep putting tentacle at the end? I don't understand.
Yeah, send me up for that Charles Hall tentacle hentai. I'm going to have sex with you with my tentacles.
I've begun my penetration. And, oh, yes. Coitus. Please stop saying that, sir.
I am going to ejaculate now. anyway, this deal with the government works out great for the tall whites, which makes sense because they have a habit. They only enter into arrangements that benefit them.
Great negotiators.
Isn't that the dumbest fucking statement? That was in everything that I looked into.
Yeah.
They're like, they only enter in agreements that are good for them. Well, no shit. Do you go like, hey, can I stay here? No, and we're also going to take your ship. Okay, I'll go agree to that. Like, no. Like, of course, got to be mutually, you would hope, beneficial. But it was such a weird thing that they said in every fucking place I looked.
Yeah.
They only say yes if it benefits them also.
Yeah, this is a big part of it. Tall whites, not altruistic at all.
No. They're in it for themselves.
But Brent, I got to tell you, I famously don't really believe in altruism. I think everybody only does
tall
something.
Tall whites, though,
yeah.
They're real.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I do believe in tall whites, though. So as an example of them being selfish, they refused to share their technology for crafting their engines, their interstellar space travel capabilities. They wouldn't share that with us, but they were willing to share designs for other technology.
Right.
Basically enough to allow us to turn the Earth into a big extraterrestrial chop shop and
literally
fix
they would
their
come,
ships.
Yeah, they said they would come here with repairs needing, and they had given us the designs and info to be able to make things so that they could repair their ships, but not make their engines.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a good deal.
You guys get interstellar travel, we get Velcro, I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, if it weren't thanks to the Tall Whites, I would not be wearing shoes right now.
They talked about things. You know, some of the things they said was like high-speed network and data cabling and things like that.
Yeah.
Stuff that they use.
Hell yeah.
And then
Cat 4, Cat 3?
Cat 12,000.
Cat 12,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was fiber optic.
Fiber optic cable.
I did not think of that word to say fiber optic.
There it is.
I'm like, light goes through it. you guys are looking at like,
I know, we're looking at Brent like, boy, he's losing it.
He's having a moment.
I've never heard of this before.
Like, yeah, so,
talking about a hollow tube?
Well, and you pee through it? So they said that they gave this information to the government and they trickled it out because the people that made it didn't know what they didn't need to know what they were making it for.
Right.
So then you can be like, oh, I'm making fiber optic cable or this or that and the other. And then it comes into the culture and then they can buy it as needed for their ships and no one's the wiser.
Right.
Right.
So that brings us to
crafty negotiators.
Story time.
Ooh.
One time, Charles Haw saw one of the damaged spaceships come in. To him, it was obvious that it had some kind of damage, like he said, meteor damage, and would obviously need high-grade titanium to be fixed. We all know that shit off the dome. You've never been around spaceships. You see that needs high-grade titanium.
Oh, well, also, Charles Hall would know.
Also, you see, and you're like, well, clearly that's meteor damage.
Right.
That's, it didn't crash into the Earth. It's clearly meteor damage.
That's meteor damage right there. he looked through the window because they had just windows on it. And I guess that wouldn't be that crazy. I say that like it's some fucking thing. But and he saw the interior and it had corridors. He said like a cruise ship and the walls were damaged. So they needed aluminum, titanium and fiber optic cables. Wow. If I had just read my notes a little bit further. And so fiber optic cables.
This sounds like a Carnival cruise ship.
Right.
I assume all the aliens had diarrhea and none of them could get out.
I think Charles Hall doesn't understand that the Tall Whites are obviously a party race of aliens who are just partying across the galaxy.
The Tall Whites are just Scandinavians that are just taking him for a fucking ride.
Or geriatric cruisers.
We really shouldn't be surprised that Charles Hall doesn't understand people having a good time.
I'm okay to party with you, yes.
All right, I am now throwing the ping pong ball. I am lobbing it in an arc of 45 degrees, and it has missed the beer cup. All right, I will take a drink.
Now, let me write that down. That's 7 sips. I don't want to overdo it. I'm cutting it off at 19.
I'm walking home, but I don't want to fall down.
So, like we said, spoiler, people all over the place are making this shit. He said the repairs to this one ship took more than 6 months, but they're fast in other ways. They might not be fast repairing, but they're fast as people, like running. He said that the TWs, we're going to call them that because it makes them happy, could reach running speeds of 35. I like to think they clocked them out there. Go! You know, they're out in the Mojave Desert. Got
with a radar gun.
Hey, Glorp, you got up to 35 miles an hour. Yes.
The hairs on the back of Chuck Yeager's neck is tingling. Who's out there on the salt flats testing speeds?
Someone's trying to go fast.
I need to go fast. I feel it.
Let me get in a rocket car. I'll race them Tall Whites. No, TW's going to outrun me, Chuck Yeager.
Yeah. Hand me my alien killing gun.
By which I mean any gun.
Well, they are also fast thinking. He said that they thought their brains work. I don't know if their brains work 7 times faster than ours. I'm not real sure how you test that, but that's a statement.
Yep.
And speaking of more, the average between 6 and 7 feet in height. Now, that's not crazy.
No.
But later in life, they can go upwards of 9 feet. And then they know this shit because they go through, he says, 3 stages of development in their life cycle. So the young Tall Whites are the most reactionary. They're kids. They'll get angry. and they'll snap at you and shit. They're like, hey, you motherfucker. And then they got like in the middle, midlife crisis type shit. And they're 6 to 7 foot tall period where they may travel back to their home planet towards the end of this, which has less gravity than ours. So, you know, they just go back here. So they're fucking swole because they've been on our planet.
Yeah. With
gravity and shit. Yeah. And that's where they grow taller. They may eventually grow up to words of like 9 feet. Robert Wadlow bullshit, you know, yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with them. That's when the young whites have to help the old whites because, wait for it, they fucking droop. They start drooping.
This is my new favorite part of this, rereading this and relearning all this. This is my new favorite part. They start to droop. What would happen to tall beings? They would droop.
That's why they should stay on Earth, because, I mean,
they don't grow taller. The gravity makes them stronger.
They get yoked out. Oh, they look so good in Vegas.
Nick Papagiorgio, all of this.
Now, where the hell's the damn tour?
Well, they got to understand. All this takes a bit of time because they live for about 800 years. But somehow we have witnessed all this. We know all this in the 50 or so years since this has happened. Yep. But anyway, halfway through their life, they hit a growth spurt. And that never stops until they die of organ failure. Like, he described it as like giganticism, where some people think, like I said earlier, like Robert Wadlow, he would have fit in with them.
They can travel faster than light, but fuck if that alien thyroid isn't a mystery to them.
Like, I guess it's kind of presumptuous to think, you know, they actually have a thyroid gland.
Everyone I have cut open sure as hell did.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Oh my God. Goodness, C-Bot.
That is crazy, though. They can't slow down their growth, but they can make
That's the thing. They can do so many, these aliens can do so many things, but they can't stop Mother Nature.
Well, but what they can do is fit in on Earth, even though they have heads that are, about our size.
Right.
But they have large blue eyes that sit more on the sides, and they're roughly twice the size of ours. Hence the, I need to wear glasses when I'm in Vegas.
Jeez.
They're blue with white pupils, but the men, their eyes turn pink when they get older.
Wow.
For some unknown reason. Their ears and noses are about half the size of ours. I'm just thinking someone listen to this and like, think of like that coworker and like, yep. Yep. Don't say pink. Don't say turn pink. God damn it. Bill accounting. We got to have a talk. No teeth, just ridges, because they eat plants. Who needs fucking teeth for plants?
Yeah.
They're still humanoid looking enough. They can pass human, like we said. And we already know because of the Vegas strip shenanigans. They love gambling. And I like to think whores.
Yeah. It seems reasonable to think that you'd go up to the rooftop. They're at the Bally's or whatever, right. And they're in the hot tub is a tall white and, you know, several ladies of the evening.
Now, all these tall whites are in there with a box floating next to them because they can't actually talk. They can talk, but we can't understand them. They have mechanical boxes that translate English into their language because they speak, but we can't hear. They speak at like frequencies dogs can understand and shit like that. So I'll never forget my buddy had a girlfriend and we're at a bar and he had this, I don't know why he had it. He had this machine and it made like a dog whistle sound and like, you can't hear it. And his girlfriend is at the end of the table. There's like 8 of us. We're in this loud bar and he's hitting it, just showing me this thing. And this girlfriend's in the table going like, look at around and shit. And like, I'm like, she's here. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with her? Like,
and
you guys hear that?
That girlfriend was actually a short haired German pointer.
She was that man's best friend.
He also says they needed these boxes because they're not psychic, but they can transmit images into other people's heads. What the fuck did you make of that? They're not psychic, but they can transmit images into people's heads.
I guess it begs the question of where do you draw the line between being psychic? What makes you psychic? What's the minimum you have to do to be psychic?
Like, what if your only power is to send highlights images into people's minds, but they've already been like circled all the differences?
I can send you a Goofus and Gallant through my mind.
Yeah.
But I can't tell what you're thinking.
This is not Charles Schultz. Who wrote this? You know, it's like horrible shit.
Charles Hall's Walnuts.
Here he is, Charlie Tall White.
Kick the soccer ball, Leany. Liney.
Womp, 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 womp.
Hi, kids.
Oh yeah,
I'm an adult.
Yeah, yeah, Charles Hall talks normal in his thing, yeah. In the his Charlie Brown version. Yeah.
Also, you know, wispy long hair, thinner than humans. They're aloof, skittish, but they will use force when threatened. So, like that weird kid in your dorm floor in college. Also, why not? They have lasers and they'll shoot you with them.
Yeah.
They
keep these. Of course.
They also have an instrument that will freeze you in place. He says it's a small pencil thin instrument that interacts with ions in our bodies.
Oh, those ions.
And they freeze people or stun us through the use of microwaves. Because those are words you can say and people just go, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think ions and microwaves are two of those things that just pop up over and over in conspiracies and health products.
Guys, let's be honest. We all have microwaves in our homes and there's a defrost setting on one of them and that's why.
Has this ever happened to you? Every horrible ad before a microwave, every horrible ad before a YouTube video now, or it's one of those health products. It's like, do you suffer from everything everyone's ever suffered from? Well, for $39.99/$95, like I can
help. You suffer from being tired when you don't get enough sleep?
Oh, son of a bitch, I do. Is it cancer? Is it? WebMD said it was cancer. They need to use this little laser bullshit because they are fragile and they're leery of us because they say the humans are brutish. And according to Charles, you need to be careful around them. Because you need to declare every movement. Guys, when you guys talked about them, you talked about, can you give us an example of what like an interaction with them would be?
You got to be really careful with the tall whites. And so we did a little skit to help all the listeners understand what to do if they ever see a tall white. You have to talk about all your actions out loud. So, I guess I'll play the role of Charles Hall and you can be the tall white.
Okay.
Or no, you'll be Charles Hall. I'll be the tall white.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm just standing up here, tall white.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing there? What are you doing there?
Just moving my arms. I am now unzipping my pants here. Okay. I am now taking off my underwear. All right. Now I'm furiously masturbating.
Okay. As long as you declare each movement. Now spit in my mouth.
I like to think that he even spits like
Hawk Tui, pew.
He just opens his mouth and spit falls out.
Yeah, Charles Hall definitely dribbles mustard out of his mouth.
This is a great hot dog. There's mustard all over the front of you. Oops.
That's Dijon. I'm gonna want to keep that.
Ooh, French's, very nice.
So like we said, they're fucking quicker than us. They're weaker than us. Some are friendly, but they can all be arrogant because you know they're we don't have like speed travel.
Well, they're so much smarter than us. So much faster. Blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, they when they were interacted with us originally, people freaked out, and that made them. Leery, that's why Charles was picked for the mission, literally because he said I was like the most boring motherfucker in the world. I don't think he said it that way, but he's a very matter-of-fact, no-nonsense, monotone, just perfectly boring enough to interact with aliens.
Yeah, he won't offend anybody.
Yeah, and we're the rest stop, because like I said, they live 105 light years away.
Yeah,
in a southern hemisphere star, because that's important, I guess.
Yeah.
They also have the best tech, and their starships were the most impressive and come from the furthest away of any of the gray species, he said. He says he heard Earth's generals talking with tall white generals about the existence of other Earth-like planets out in the galaxy where there was no intelligent life yet. And the tall whites had wanted to put bases there, but they are cooler than Earth. Mm-hmm. So not like cool, like, but like cooler temperature. So they wanted Earth because we're warmer. So we're going to get those one of these days, humans. We're going to give you those planets.
Another great deal by the tall whites. They said, no, you can have those old other planets, but,
you have to build the base there, and then we get to use it to refuel and repair, but you're not going there without us.
We'll keep giving you little technology breadcrumbs, humans.
Where the hell do you think all these missing POWs go? There, goddammit! That's a lot of info from some dude in the six-volume thing. We're going to go to break. When we come back, how did he get all this shit? And more mouth spitting. I think it's coming up.
That's much more.
That's next on Hysteria 51.
Oh, wow. Bum, bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum.
All right. Art, tell us about Charles's background.
Oh, Charlie. He was stationed at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada, which for you, I mean, if you're a Fallout New Vegas fan, you got to remember this.
I've never played it.
Oh, Brent.
I've never played it.
I was looking for you for confirmation. No, he had. I know Andy hasn't.
No.
Damn it. Well, Hysteria Nation, Fallout New Vegas, post about it in the Hysteria Nation Facebook.
I don't play your hoo-ha games. And...
Tell Art all about it on the Hysteria 51 Discord channel.
Well, he was stationed there in Nevada from 1964 to 65 to take weather readings using weather balloons in the Mojave Desert.
Yeah, as one's to do. It's like, can you get this guy as far fucking away from everyone else? Even in the military, he's like, you are. Yeah.
That's how you know you're a certified badass.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to talk about this in a minute, but, well, it's now, pretty funny. Said,
Hall did a tour of Vietnam, and then, according to him, he scored the highest score ever recorded, ever, on the math portion of the Air Force's placement test. And he only got one question wrong out of 500.
Not bad.
Andy, I'd like to see you take that test. Get a zero.
Yeah, I would get zero wrong out of 500 because I wouldn't even take it.
So he was assigned to Nellis.
If you don't even try.
He was assigned to Nellis Air Force Base in the Mojave. His real purpose was to work out as we said, a liaison between the U.S. government and a small colony of aliens. You guessed it. The tall whites.
Yep.
The tall whites. He's worked at Area 54. That's the land that was given to the tall whites by the U.S. government. And like we said, he's kind of a training dummy to get these aliens used to being around human beings. He's a no-nonsense, matter-of-fact, monotone guy. I mean, perfect for these peeps.
Yep. I don't find you threatening at all. Yeah. Thank you.
Now, Charles later proved his worth again by guiding six, not one, not two, not three, six F-105 fighters through a blind landing on a training mission using nothing more than his extensive knowledge of the wind.
That is the greatest fucking line I have ever heard in my life.
Better than his six volumes.
What are we supposed to do with these planes? Does anyone know the wind?
Who knows about the wind? Give me Charles Hall. That man knows the wind.
He's just standing out there with one wet finger and a bunch of leaves thrown him. Bank left, 14 degrees.
He's got his
eyes. Drop your fuel, 105.
He's like looking at the thing on the end of the goalpost in football. The wind, wind flags.
Close your eyes. You don't need to see anything right now. Sight will only impair your judgment. Just listen to the sound of my voice.
This guy is like Yoda of the wind. Charles was rewarded. Oh, lots of spit. Yeah, he just spits.
Please stop spitting, sir.
Just whatever way the mustard dribbles out of his mouth.
Get this man some sour candy stat. Charles was rewarded with being allowed to do weather readings out in a weather shack out in the Mojave Desert using weather balloons. That's what he got rewarded with for getting one question wrong on the Air Force's math placement test. But people were so afraid to do this job. That's what Charles started to learn, is that the other people he would talk to who used to do this job, he learned that they all quit. No one wanted to do it. And he was like, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. I'm going to do a bang-up job.
Yeah, they talked about they were all scared about this range for Harry story.
Right.
This radioactive horse or whatever fucking thing.
Yeah.
And they were terrified to do the job, and he's just like, well, that's horse shit. And so he goes out to do it. Well, it turns out it's just aliens. That's all it fucking was aliens.
Right. I love that nobody wants to do this job. You're out in a shack in the middle of the desert. There's absolutely nothing to do. Charles Hall fucking loves this job. Right. goes every day to do these weather readings that he knows are pointless, that nobody's using this data. He has this confirmed.
He later learned that the government was not using any of the weather data, and the only purpose that they sent people out there was to meet the aliens.
Yeah,
he still did it.
He said that the weather data that they'd been sending, these guys were terrified to go out there because of the aliens, so they were just making it up.
Right.
And no one had caught on, so they're like, well, why don't we need to do it?
Yeah. But he does it every day. He's so committed to this job.
My favorite fucking part of this is, see, he does all this top secret shit. Huge clearance, all this, living out in the Mojave Desert, Site 54, Area 54, and promptly writes a book about it.
Yeah.
Now, wait for it. It's a fiction book. Just kidding. Because he's like, oh, I came back. He comes back, and he goes, it wasn't fiction. That was a test.
I was testing you.
It was real. And the government was completely fine with this. They're like, yeah, that's fine. You know, so I was reading all these comments about him. Like, people are like, no, it's trickle down disclosure. That's what they let it do. They don't kill everyone that comes forward. Some of them, they let them say it. That way we know what's going on. That way, when it comes out in the news, we're desensitized. So he's on the talk circuit, the book circuit. He's got that documentary last year. And give me your, you guys did this before. Give me your over under on the tall whites, Charles. What do you think? Like, is this just some guy who is grasping at straws, some guy who's mentally impaired, or it's all fucking true and we're dumb, or I'm dumb for making fun of it?
If I remember right, I think that Art and I, when we covered this on Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time, we were both pretty much the same, where we felt like Charles Hall is, this was his only creative outlet in his entire life.
Yeah.
And he just took it and ran with it.
Did you feel like the book got him some notoriety and he like latched onto that?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. You know what? There's a point of the story that's actually very sweet. And it's that Charles Hall was, you know, he met his wife, had a big family, and he was going to write his memoirs. And he felt a little self-conscious about it. But then his wife really encouraged him to really push this stuff out there. And that's kind of sweet. It's kind of nice. A little husband and wife duo teaming up to talk about aliens. I do agree, though. I think at the end of the day, I think that Charles Hall was working a kind of boring gig at the end of his military career. Mm-hmm. And he crafted a narrative of some aliens. That's way more fun than releasing weather balloons out in the desert.
I always wonder with people like this sometimes, too, who have told a story. Let's say it is not true. Do they start to believe it themselves?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you tell something so many times, then it just becomes fact in your mind, or they blur together. That's an interesting, I don't know the answer for a lot of people, but, you know, this might be all true and, you know, egg on my face, but man, it's an interesting, I don't know the answer. I don't know. You got people, the Travis Waltons, the, Bob Lazar's of the world,
right?
You know, these people that have had these stories that get, you know, shit on and not shit on and debunked and undebunked. That's not even a word, but you know,
yeah.
And they stick with it. That's a hell of a life to just go, well, that's my story, you know, and to hear.
Yeah. I think you almost, if you tell it enough, you almost have to start to believe it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that you can keep it up, because like Charles Hall, this is kind of his meal ticket now.
Right.
Like,
hey, you know? Go for it. Don't ever let him see a sweat, Charles Hall. Keep going in on those aliens and, you know.
Well, I had talked to someone that everyone, if you listen to the show, you probably heard on here before, Rob Christofferson. Him and I talk aliens all the time. And we had talked Charles Hall. So I said, hey, you got a blurb. What do you think of Charles Hall? And he sent me this. So I'm going to read this. He says, the greatest false flag operation ever conducted by an entity, aside from Popeye's fake chicken war, was pulled off by Charles Hall when he titled his book or books Millennial Hospitality. If you're expecting a boomer's guide to millennial behavior, think again. Instead, Charles Hall regaled us with the story of an alien species too fragile to shake hands with a human being. If you can't hug an alien, is it even worth communicating with? I would say no, as I live my life like Judah Friedlander did in the music video for the Dave Matthews Band classic every day. Hug the shit out of everyone. As for the tall whites, on a scale of 1 to 10, I give them a 0. With a racist name like that, they're too fragile to exist.
Wow.
In my brain space.
Far be it from me to shit on anyone's parade, but if I were you, Meat Sacks, I would worry about white folks from far away showing up and just wanting a bit of land. But what do I know?
That's probably the takeaway from this whole thing.
Yeah, this is... Charles Hall is trying to warn us all of a terrible future.
Yeah, they wanted to offer us space blankets, but we said no, thank you.
I'd like to throw this out here just now, thinking about this. Tall whites are here. All of a sudden, COVID?
COVID 19, 19 times whatever equals 105 light years away.
Oh, my God.
We've cracked Charles Hall's code.
Vegas. I don't know. All right, kids.
Stay guys.
Yeah, that's been our thoughts on Charles Hall and the Tall Whites. What are your thoughts? How can you tell us? Go to Hysteria Nation. Hysteria Nation is our Facebook discussion group, and you can find it just by going to Facebook and looking up Hysteria Nation. And also, while you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/hysteria51pod. patreon.com/hysteria51. You can hear up all night's mad blurry hysterias, all sorts of shenanigans. We just did an episode, and this was true, on mad blurry hysteria. Some guy now holds the Guinness Book of World Records for holding his breath underwater for 23 minutes. I thought you were like brain dead after 6 minutes. This is like, you can watch
it. He's a tall white.
If you want to watch it, you can actually watch the videotape the whole thing. And he broke his own record of like 19 minutes.
Good Lord.
Holy God.
I don't even know. What? I don't even know if they pull him out and he's like, goose, you know, or if he's normal, but like, Jesus. There was no white ring. It was hell. I was surrounded in fire.
Oh, one of our favorite world records is the guy that had the longest sustained note held.
They play one of those famous weird, like Yanni or one of them used to try to do that, where they play like one note on an instrument.
Oh,
because he can rebreathe. Somehow they can breathe in while breathing
in through
out.
The nose. And
yeah, which I was reading about that, and I tried for about 5 minutes, and I was going, you know, I think I did it wrong.
Wasn't there a Tenacious D sketch about that?
Sure.
And now I start some lyrics, and you know I'll never stop. And it's not really nonstop, is it?
Fuck you! Sit in your fucking tower.
If you guys want to call and leave us your longest note, 773-669-7277. That's our voicemail number, and you can find all of that on hysteria51.com. But that's not the place you guys are supposed to be going. You guys need to follow Mr. Bunky's...
Mr. Bunky's Spittoon Hour.
Yeah. Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast and Spit in Your Mouth Time Hour. Yeah. guys, where can they find you? What you got going on? You just did gray aliens.
That's right.
And now you're on here talking white aliens. You doing any like crazy plaid aliens or anything coming up?
Yeah, we're doing the Scottish aliens.
That's right.
Next week.
Yeah, we got the Scottish aliens.
They have their brogue box, so we can understand.
With their intergalactic bagpipes and their haggis.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, we got some great stuff coming up. We'll see. We'll see what's in store when we get back to the bunker. And
nice. Where can they find you guys?
They can find us at Mr. Bunker Pod on Instagram and Twitter. You can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/C/ Mr. Bunker Pod. We got some fun videos on there.
They can stare at you and just...
And they can stare.
They can recreate that furious masturbation scene.
Yeah. That's true.
Looking into your... dead eyes. Cold,
that's true.
Dead eyes, yeah.
my cold, dead heart.
You can find our cold, dead eyes. And if you want more of our cold, dead personalities and our horrific cold, dead voices, you can find all of our links at MrBunkersConspiracyTime.com.
Sweet. All right, kids. So that's been our thoughts on Charles Hall, tall aliens, and Vegas, and all things in between. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Art. Ooh, spit in my mouth.
And I've been Andy.
And I'm Charles Hall.
He's been conspiracy butt.
Spit in my mouth, meat sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.